Amen. Anybody that's ever experienced God's mercy and His grace to save can understand the depth of that song. If you have been forgiven of your sin, if you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what it is like to experience the real saving grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We sing that chorus or that song, that hymn, many times without really looking close about it. But if you've ever experienced it, it ought to affect your heart every time you hear it. Amazing grace. I mean, when you stop and think about where you have come from, you might have been raised in church like myself, but still, I needed to have the mercy of God and the grace of God in my life. I needed God to do something for me. Grace, as defined by Brother Webster in his famous book, The Dictionary, says, unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration and sanctification. Unmerited. Undeserved. If you look at your past, do you really deserve where you are today? I don't. I'll be the first to admit, I don't deserve to have the peace of God and the compassion of Christ in my life like I have today. I really don't deserve it. But see, grace is not earned. It is a free gift. Grace is a free gift given by a loving God. I can't earn grace. I don't deserve grace. But it's through His love and grace that we can find mercy. Now, mercy. Lord, have mercy. There are times in our lives that we need mercy. There are times, there's always that special time with God that we need mercy. And after I first come to God, I'm going to be confessing today, there's been times I've needed God's mercy again and again and again and again. I never want to get so far away from God's mercy. I'll tell you, you go to a courtroom and see a convict standing before a judge, and I'll guarantee you he would like to say, I throw myself on the mercy of the court. Have mercy when you sentence me. Mercy is something that we all want. We all desire mercy. We all desire forgiveness. We all desire God's grace. If our enemy can convince us that God doesn't love us, or that He just doesn't care about us, he will set up a trap of deception that he has caused many souls to fall over the past. I want to show somebody today that God is a loving God, a merciful God, a God that's full of grace and truth. When heartache comes, grace is there. When disappointments come, mercy and grace is right there. When we feel alone and there's no one that can help us, God is there. When we feel like nobody cares, which is a deception. That's the deception of the devil. When we feel like nobody cares, God is there. That mercy of God is there. Praise God. He's our God, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And this is one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in time of need today? Are you in the time of disappointment? Are you in time of heartache? Are you in time that you need the grace of God or the mercy of God? We can come boldly before the throne of grace. And I'm going to talk about that again in a little bit. But today I want to talk about God's mercy. God's mercy. Mercy that changes our lives. I'm not the man I used to be, and I thank God for that. And it's because of His mercy. Mercy helps us when we are in need. When we have a spiritual need or even a physical need, we can call on God's mercy. We can call on God, and He is there to hear us. Praise God. Mercy to forgive our sins. I won't ask how many has not sinned this week. Because we're human. We probably thought something we shouldn't have. I probably thought some things in that mess on 98, but But thank God we can go to God and find that mercy, mercy to forgive us. But first, I must see that God's mercy begins with His love. If it was not for the love of God, there would be no mercy of God. If there was no mercy of God, there would be no grace of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved all the righteous people, all the good people, all the rich people, and everybody else, He said, oh, let them go. No, he so loved you and I. He so loved the world. He so loved the sinners on the street. He so loved the sinners in this congregation. That includes me, because I am a sinner saved by grace. Amen. God so loved the world. He didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And every day of my life, I have to go to God and I repent. I may not remember anything I did or thought that wasn't right, but I still say, God, if there's anything, if I have failed to mention it, God, if I fail to remember what it was, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I want to know that I'm not going to perish. He said this should not perish. He so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Didn't say that they wouldn't, but they shouldn't. And that is a promise from God. There's no reason for anyone to be lost. I'm going to say something that I have said many times, but I'm going to say it again because I think it's true. Once I have repented of my sin and received the Holy Ghost, my attitude is going to determine if I'm going to make it there. My attitude. And I'll tell you, there's been times I've had terrible attitude. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. It's true. And we shouldn't perish. We should have an understanding of that God loves us and that He's a merciful God. He's full of grace and truth, and He wants to show His mercy to us. God has shown His love for mankind from the very beginning of time. Just go all the way back to creation. God created the light. He created the heavens and the earth. There was light, the moon to rule by night, the sun to rule by day. And every time He created something, He said, "That's good." He liked what he saw. And He created the plants, the animals, and finally the Bible said He created man in His own image. And we see, I don't want to sound sacrilegious, but when God created us, we were perfect. Adam, he was made in the image of God. And when he finished that, he sat back on that sixth day and said, "That's very good." He was pleased. He was happy with his creation. And he built the garden and put Adam in there, said, "You take care of that garden, and you can have anything in there you want. And you have dominion over all the plants, all the animals. It's yours. Just that one tree, I don't want you to touch it. Because if you partake of that tree, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die." And so Adam and Eve, they had a beautiful garden to live in. And the Bible said Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening and talked with God every evening. And I've often wondered, what'd they talk about? Oh, that's a beautiful sunset, don't you think? I don't know what they talked about, but I do know that they communed every day. He had a close that fellowship with God, and he was listening. He could hear the voice of God. I don't know what they talked about, but I do know that there came a day when Adam and Eve partook of that tree that God said, "Don't." Well, when God came along and said, "Adam, where are you?" And he said, "Well, we're hiding because we're naked." "Who told you were naked? You're my creation. I created you. And since you did what I told you not to, I hate you." He didn't say that. God does not turn His back on His people. He does not turn His back on... He said, "Adam, where are you?" He didn't say that, "I don't love you anymore." But sin demands judgment. And we know that there was the animal killed and the robes made to cover their their nakedness. James says in James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. They lusted after that tree. The one thing God said, I don't want you to touch. That's what they lusted after. And you know that's still true today. The very things that God doesn't want us to partake in are the very things this flesh says, oh, I want that. That's what my desire is. Forget about what God says. That's what I want. That is still in the human genome, or whatever they call it. Adam and Eve lusted after that one fruit that God had forbidden them to eat. And that lust brought forth sin. And, of course, sin brought forth the judgment. But because of God's love, he tempered his judgment with mercy. Now, he could have just killed them, and that was it. He could have started all over. He could have done that. But he tempered his judgment with mercy. They didn't physically die that day, but he pronounced the punishment for their sin, and they were separated from God. There was a separation Adam walked every evening with God. Now that's not happening anymore. Adam, you're going to have to till the ground. By the sweat of the brow, you're going to make a living. Eve, you're going to have pain in childbirth. Sorry, ladies. Serpent, he pronounced judgment. Then he cast them out of the garden. And that in itself was mercy. If God had not cast them out of the garden, and they had partaken of the tree of life that was also in the garden, they would have lived forever in that sinful state. God said, I got to get them out of here before they eat of that fruit. He would have lived forever, separated from his Creator. Now, let's go to the sixth chapter of Genesis. Let's see how sin had taken its toll on mankind. Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're getting close to that time again, if we're not there already. Always just evil thoughts, evil communications, wickedness. And verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had even made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. He repented that he made man, but it grieved him. Why? Why did it grieve him? Because he still loved them. His love was there. Love produced mercy. Amen. His mercy looked on fallen man, and in Genesis 6 and 8 said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder what Noah was doing that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder if he was out there on the street corner preaching and saying, y'all need to repent. Y'all need to be right. Y'all need to get right. Was he different, living differently than everybody else? What did God see in Noah? This I do know. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of that, the people had 120 years or so of mercy. For 120 years, as Noah built the ark, he would preach. I think it was in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, referred to Noah as a preacher of righteousness. God told me it's going to rain, going to destroy the world, building the ark, and nobody believed him. Instead, they would ridicule him. They made fun of him. And during that time, he continued to preach righteousness. He preached of the coming flood. He preached the message of salvation. All you have to do is get in the ark. But he was scorned. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was ignored. Forget it. I don't believe a word you're saying. We're living in that day today. Many people refuse the truth of the Word of God. They would rather to believe a lie, the Bible said, and be damned. Until the day God shut the door, that evil generation had the opportunity to listen to the message. But as we heard at men's conference, once that door was closed, there was no more hope. Mercy was done. Mercy was inside the ark. Grace was inside the ark. And all those people that had refused the message of mercy, they could have, but they didn't. When the ark was finished, God shut the door. That was it. It was over. Amen. There will always be judgment for sin. But before judgment, there is mercy. And if I can get this across, I really want to. If it's possible that there is something in your life that you still need God to take care of, it's not too late today. Now, I told somebody, I'm going to do my best not to try and preach this today because I really feel it important us to understand God's mercy. There is time for God right now. But once that door closes, it's over with. We read of Abraham and Lot separating, a lot going on down into Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said he was vexed by the ungodly things of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was vexed by that filthy conversation. Oh, my Lord, stay off of Facebook. The political nonsense. You're an idiot, they tell me. Well, anyway. Filthy conversation. He was vexed by what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy that city. I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham began to bargain with God. Would you have mercy if there was 50 righteous found there? Yes, I will. Would you do it for 45? Would you do it for 40? Would you spare it for 30? Would you spare it for 10? God's mercy said, yeah, I will, if you can find 10 righteous there. Well, we know the only one that was there was Lot and his family, and God led Lot out. There was going to come judgment. But because of mercy, Lot was let out. The Lord told the story of a man that had two sons, and I look at this quite often. He had two sons, and he loved them both equally. He loved his sons, and one of them came to him one day and said, Dad, I know you're going to die someday, and you're going to leave everything you have to me and my brother. Well, I'll tell you what, figure out how much my part would be and give it to me right now. I want to live life. I want to live life the way I want to live life. I don't want to have to sit under Dad's house. I don't want to have to sit under Dad's rules. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it now. And the Bible tells me his father gave him his inheritance. He went off into a far country. And there he wasted his living on riotous living. He wasted his riches. You know, when you got money, you got friends. Well, I don't know about that. I don't have any money, and I still got some friends. But when you got money, you got friends that aren't really your friends. They'll be friends as long as you can buy them a drink at the local bar. As long as you can give them something that they want, they'll be your friend. Sure they will. And that's what this young man found out. He found out that once his living was all gone, there was a drought in the land and there was famine, and he kept buying drinks. He kept buying whatever, that new Cadillac for his big buddy or whatever. But when it was all gone and he was hungry and he didn't have anything to eat, he had no place to go. The Bible said he would try and eat the husks of the corn that the pigs were eating as he tried to get a job taking care of the pigs. One day he came to himself and he said, I want to go home to Dad. If Dad would just let me be a servant in his house, I would be much better off as a servant in Dad's house. And the Bible tells me that he got up from that pig pen and headed home. He was probably still having the stench of the pig pen on him. It doesn't say that he stopped at a river and bathed. I don't know. But when the dad saw him afar off, Luke verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He was whatever condition he was in, Dad saw him. See, Dad had been out there looking for him. You think God don't care for you? God's looking for you right now. God's looking for anyone that is listening to me today. God is looking for, if you're away from him, he wants you to come home. He wants you to come back. Amen. And this father said, he ran out and had compassion on him, or mercy, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Doesn't that sound like you and I when we come to God? And sometimes, even after we come to God and we've messed up, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, This my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. Doesn't that sound like amazing grace to you? God's amazing grace. Jesus was telling the story about this father, and they began to be merry. Mercy brought him home. Mercy brought that young man back to dead. Mercy brought him back to his home, and somebody said, grace prepared the feast. Thank God. There is a mercy and there is a grace of God that is available to every soul on this planet. Every soul on this planet. I don't care how far away your husband might be, or your wife might be, or your brother, or your sister, or your son, or your daughter. Don't ever give up on the mercy of God. Don't ever doubt the mercy of God. Don't doubt the grace of God. Amen. The enemy would love to hold our past over us to prove we're not worthy, that God can't love us. Our past is past. Our past is past. We don't need to let the enemy take our past and put it in front of us to make us stumble. God forgave me of those things. He washed me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Oh, he can love everyone else, but not me. You ever said that? Ever heard somebody say that? I have. Oh, my sins are just too great to be forgiven. Oh, if I walked in that church, the ceiling would fall. You ever heard somebody say that? Yeah, I have. That ceiling ain't going to fall. There's people in there that's got too much righteousness to let that happen. And besides that, you're not as big as God. You're not as big as God. Don't tell me that your sins are so great God can't take care of them. You're trying to say God's not as good as you are, or as bad as you are, or as big as you are. Too many look at God as one that just wants, you know, get these lightning bolts ready, let's go. And they never come to know God, the God of love, who seeks to show mercy. He wants to forgive. He wants to show mercy and grant grace to be saved. God's love brought mercy, thank God. Mercy brought grace, and grace brought salvation, thank God. Ephesians 2 and 8. Oh, another one of my favorite scriptures. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it, but it is a gift of God. We can't earn it, but God has made a plan for our redemption. We read of many thrones in the scriptures. Have you ever gone through and listed the thrones? I was looking at some of them. Of course, we talk about the throne of David, the throne of Israel, the throne of judgment, the throne of God, the throne of the Lord, the great white throne. I even found there is a throne of iniquity. I won't get into that right now. But there is another throne I want to talk about now. Hebrews 4 and 16, I read it a little bit ago. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Look at that first part. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not arrogantly, not feeling entitled to it, not feeling worthy of it, but confident that he'll do what he said he would do. Confident in knowing that God is faithful to keep his promises, his word, and that he will receive us. The word therefore, let us come. Or let us therefore come. That word therefore connects verse 16 with verse 15. And if we read verse 15, we find out why we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Hebrews 14 and 15, one verse earlier. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, because of that, come boldly before the throne of grace. God loves us where we are. Right now. No matter the condition of your heart, my heart, God loves us right now. The way he understands us where we live. He understands our heart. In fact, he knows our hearts even better than we know ourselves. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He's touched when we fail. He's touched by our faults. He was grieved about the condition of man before the flood. He was grieved. His love, his truth, joins with mercy and offers us the ability to come before the throne of grace. Thank God. I'm so grateful for a throne of grace. He knows us. He understands us. He understands because he suffered the same temptations we do. Everything you've gone through, Jesus experienced it. In all points, like as we. The difference is he didn't sin. He knows the weakness of the flesh. He understands the weakness of the flesh because he suffered the same things you and I suffer. God could have destroyed the world, everything in it, but instead he set up a throne of grace where we can obtain mercy. Without grace, there is no mercy. Without mercy, there is no grace. I remember some years ago, well, many years ago, I was driving from Indiana to Colorado, and I mentioned this before, but it was the mercy of God that I'm still alive. I woke up on the other side of a two-lane highway doing over 100 miles an hour. That was my stupidity, but God even had mercy on that. Many times in our lives, we look back on our lives, we could see many times when God had mercy on us, when God took care of us. And see, God is, that's the God we serve. I could mention many things that's happened in my life, but I just want to say I'm thankful for God's mercy. God said, looked at Nineveh, said, that is a wicked city, I'm going to destroy it. Jonah, I want you to go down there and preach 40 days, and I'm going to send judgment. Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do that. The Bible tells us he ran away and tried to hide, and we know the story about the whale and been spit up on, and he went and finally got to Nineveh. And I don't know how he preached it. Oh, 40 days, y'all going to die. 40 days, God's going to destroy the city. I don't know if he had what kind of fervor he had in his message. But he got a hold of the hearts of the people. And the people said, we're going to repent. Maybe God won't do this thing if we'll repent. They all put on sackcloth and ashes. They even made the animals fast and pray or be in sackcloth and ashes. And when it was all over with, can you imagine? What if there was only judgment being preached today? What if, forget it, y'all are going to be lost, you're going to hell, there's no hope. That's the message Jonah was preaching. Can you imagine? I wouldn't sit in here and listen to that. I'd either find myself in a place to repent or I don't know what I'd do. But that was the message. And then in Hosea 6:6, the Bible says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Nineveh repented. And then Jonah got mad. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I knew you're a merciful God. I knew you. That's why I didn't want to come in the first place. I knew you'd have mercy on them anyway. Mercy. I'm talking about the mercy of God. When we come to realize the truth that God desires to show mercy more than our sacrifices, we'll boldly come before the throne of grace and receive what God has for us. Because Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We cannot be saved without a God who could love us. God who would be merciful to forgive us. A God that will give us grace to be saved. Amen. David wrote much about mercy. Psalms 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous of mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Oh, thank God. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, when I think God, east, you can go east forever, never end up going any other direction. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's thrown our transgressions. They're gone. They're forever gone, praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful today. I have a better memory than God does because I remember what I've done for the most part. We never forget our transgressions. and the devil loves to throw them up at, but our enemy loves to throw them up before us to cause us to stumble. But because God is merciful to forgive, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy. We're talking about a God of mercy this morning. Amen. In Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember my sins, or thy sins. What did he say? I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my sake. Because he loves us so much. He's so merciful. He could destroy the world, but for his own sake, he will not remember our sins against us. God has removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, and he's done it for his sake because he loves us. He desires to grant mercy. Micah 7:19, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Praise God. That's my God. That's my merciful Savior. David wrote much about mercy. 136th chapter of Psalms, if you get a chance to read it this afternoon, it's about 26 verses long, and it tells the story of the Israel being taken out of Egypt. But every verse ends with this: for his mercy endures forever. Every verse, for his mercy. And see, David understood all about that mercy. He understood about that mercy. I'm going to go to Titus 3:3, and I've got to hurry to the end. For we ourselves also, Titus 3:3, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. According to his mercy he saved us. Praise God. I can honestly say I am grateful for the mercy of God. I would be lost. I could be 6 feet under right now if it weren't for the mercy of God. I could be in the jails if it hadn't been for the mercy of God. By his grace, he's justified us. He's washed us. He's cleansed us, made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. If there was no love of God, there would be no mercy. If there was no mercy, there would be no grace. Thank God for the love of God. If there was no grace, there would be no salvation. Acts 2:38 is a perfect example of mercy and grace. Then Peter said unto them, repent, mercy. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, grace. Grace to be saved. To understand mercy and grace, I want to go to Calvary. God took upon himself the form of man and paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. The punishment that we deserved. The punishment. At Calvary, all of God's love, all of his mercy, and all of his truth came together to provide salvation to a lost world. Psalm 85:10, one more time. Mercy and truth are met together. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That happened at Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Sin demanded judgment. It was you and I that deserved the beating. But mercy said no. By these stripes you're healed. You and I are the ones that deserve to be crucified. But mercy stepped in and said no. Mercy took the beating. Mercy was nailed to the cross. It's at Calvary God showed mercy, taking upon himself the sin of all mankind. Everyone that has ever sinned through time, everyone that would sin through time until the end of time, he took upon himself, suffering more than we can understand. He not only suffered at the hands of his captors, but all of our sins was placed on him who knew no sin. For that moment of time, he felt the sin of mankind. God's mercy, God's truth met together. God's righteousness, God's peace came together. And the throne of grace was set up so that everybody that will can obtain mercy and find grace that only God can give. Only God can give. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed. And the Bible tells me at that moment, he could have called legions of angels, destroyed the world. But he said, no, I love my people. I love my creation. Amen. No wonder Paul said, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Praise God. I'm so glad for the mercy of God. It was by the mercy of God that we receive forgiveness of our sins and grace that purifies us and gives us the righteousness of God in our lives. Praise God. Let's stand. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. So thankful for the word of God that lets me know I can be saved. I do not have to be lost. And if anyone doubts it, I have a God that will touch you even right now. Praise God. Now I'm supposed to give the announcements. Don't forget our midweek services. Prayer meeting each Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and it is powerful. I think the